Hello, hello, and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm speaking with the president of the Connecticut Right to Life Corporation, Bill O'Brien. Thank you for joining us today, Bill.
Glad to be here, Corinne.
Now, for our viewers, the Connecticut Right to Life Corporation is very active in keeping their fingers on the pulse of all of the legislative things going on in the pro-life movement, both locally in the state of Connecticut and nationally. So we'd like to have you inform our viewers what's going on in the State House and in Washington right now as far as what we would be interested in as in pro-life.
Okay. Well, I'll start with in Washington. Of course, Obama just released a budget, or will be announcing it tomorrow, but some of the details are leaking out. And here in Connecticut, the same thing. That'll be released tomorrow, but details are leaking out. And of course, both governments are deeply in debt. And we can tell them a good place to start cutting money would be for abortion. Planned Parenthood gets over $300 million a year.
Say that again.
$300 million a year from the federal government.
And Planned Parenthood is a nonprofit organization.
Right, yeah. And it gets $5 million from the state of Connecticut, or through the state of Connecticut. That's half federal funds and half state funds. So that's where some of that 300 and something million dollars goes. But Planned Parenthood is a $1 billion corporation. So they get about two-thirds of their money through donations, which could be corporate donations and such, and private donations, and then one-third of it from the government at different levels, state, federal,
and they also charge for their services, so they also get money from that.
Right.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought I saw some statistics about their from their books, and that approximately $300 million is profit per year in Planned Parenthood.
I haven't seen that. I would doubt that. That would be excess over expenses, and I don't think that's true. But they do have $300 million. From the governments, and they may, they say that they give things away. There's a book that just came out. A woman down in Texas about a year or two ago left Planned Parenthood during a 40 Days for Life campaign.
She was a director of the Planned Parenthood
of the local Planned Parenthood, and she went down the street to the pro-life group, and she eventually, within a couple of weeks, she'd left Planned Parenthood as an employee, and she's been in the pro-life group and the movement ever since. Mm-hmm. In fact, she even at first she said, "Well, I'm not for abortion anymore." And this is because she actually saw an ultrasound abortion and saw the baby moving away from the suction machine. And that's what changed her mind. But she said, "I'm against abortion, but I'm still for birth control." Well, in the last 2 years, she's now against birth control, and she's becoming Catholic, entering into the Catholic Church. So she's had quite a conversion.
I did read her book, and it was interesting because she really believed, deep down in her heart, that she was helping women. Mm-hmm. And like you said, she really didn't push abortion. She didn't really feel that she wanted to push abortion. She wanted it available to women because she herself had had two or three abortions.
She had two out of her three pregnancies, right?
And she did realize, over time that even though she was pushing for birth control, she had conceived both of her children that she aborted while she was on birth control.
The third one as well.
So she realized, you can't do that. But I mean, I did admire her. Even while she was working for Planned Parenthood, she was a big proponent for adoption, which I thought was, remarkable in this day and age. But it's amazing how, like you said, the turnaround in this woman's life, and you can really attribute that to the 40 Days for Life and how the people outside the clinic had prayed for her, and she knew they were praying for her, and she was actually on, speaking terms with them, and they just were very peaceful and were not judgmental. And when she, like you said, actually saw the ultrasound on the abortion on the ultrasound, she realized, that the baby was really fighting for its life.
For its life. Mm-hmm.
And she watched as the abortionist snuffed out that poor child's life, and she knew that she couldn't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. But she knew who to turn to, and it was the pro-life group across the street. Although she drove around so that no one would see that she was driving there.
That's right.
And then it was interesting because she didn't know how they were going to react, so she pulled into the parking lot and called them and said, I'm here, I want to get out of the business. She didn't want to just walk in because they thought she might have a bomb strapped onto her or something. But yeah, it's amazing, you know, just seeing the Planned Parenthood from the inside too, because she was saying that all of a sudden they were really, you know, starting to push for more and more abortions because they wanted to get their profit margins up.
Right, and that's the point, that the birth control that she was pushing was actually, they were losing money on that. So, but it's on the abortions, and they do over 300,000 abortions a year, which is one quarter of all the abortions in the United States. So they were pushing the abortions to make up on the loss that they were taking on the birth control, which they give away because they know that people like her were going to use it and have three pregnancies, two of which ended up in abortion.
Right, right. And I know that some other abortionists have said, you know, after leaving the business, that they purposely give girls, especially young girls, low doses of birth control. And if the girls don't take the pills every day exactly the same time, their blood levels get low enough so that they actually become hyper, you know, fertile. Mm-hmm. And that's how they often do end up getting pregnant. And, of course, who they get to turn to but Planned Parenthood, because... Right. They're the ones that have the abortion. But Planned Parenthood has been in the news a lot in the last couple of weeks.
Right, and it's Representative Pence in Congress, you know, is pushing a bill right now to defund Planned Parenthood. And at the same time, in the last 2 weeks, there's been seven different videos that I've heard about that have come out from Live Action, which is Lila Rose, who was a UCLA student, or she may have just graduated, but since she was 15 years old, she's been wanting to be a journalist, I guess, and she's been studying journalism at UCLA. And I guess maybe for her senior project, whatever you want to call it, it's her senior projects to bring down Planned Parenthood.
Wow.
And not to write about Planned Parenthood, but bring them down. And she's gone undercover, or had people go undercover with cameras into Planned Parenthood, and in three different states in the District of Columbia, as far as we know right now, in the most recent undercover sting operations. She did similar things a couple of years ago, and. You know, she has two actors basically posing as a pimp and a prostitute. And they go in and they make it very clear that they're in the sex trade and that they have underage girls, 14, 15 years old, that might need abortions because
might
they're
be
prostitutes.
Illegal too.
Right. They might be illegal aliens here. And that they might need abortions. And, you know, what's going to be the procedure? And in all these sting operations, the videos have been released, Planned Parenthood simply goes right along with it, and not only goes along with it, but is very accommodating and suggesting, you know, what they can do to have these young girls, you know, get abortions without, you know, their parents knowing about it, even though some of these states, you know, have parental involvement laws. It's basically New York, New Jersey, Virginia, and the District of Columbia are the states where these things have been done so far. And so it's, you know, basically Planned Parenthood, it seems, by the way that they're going along with this, that they're covering up sick, could be statutory rape, prostitution, trafficking in persons, which is a federal crime, you know, and who knows what other crimes, you know, evading the parental involvement laws and so on. So, you know, that's what your money, your tax dollars are paying for, your tax dollars at work.
Now, I did see one of the tapes, and that was the one from New Jersey. And this woman, I mean, she's giving them all sorts of business advice and everything, you know, and like, okay, well, to avoid the parental consent, you know, especially if the girl's under 14 and under, she says, you didn't hear it from me, but this is where you go. So, you know, they don't want to do it at Planned Parenthood, but they're going to give them, you know, where they should take the girls. And they were saying, well, you know, how long after an abortion can the girls then be, you know, go back to business. And she's like, oh, well, you know, right away, as long as it's waist up. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is, like, I would have, like, said, oh, I got some information from you, got out the back room and called the police. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the guy was so explicit. I mean, you knew exactly what, you know, they were, you know, there for, because they wanted to make sure the girls had a place to find out whether they had STDs, you know, test them for that, a place where they could get birth control, and a place, you know, when the birth control failed, to get abortions, and all really to keep their business running on illegal young girls in the sex trade. Like.
All right. So Representative Pence, you know, he's introduced this bill to basically defund Planned Parenthood. And, you know, it's not just simply because your parents should be involved anymore. It's because they're breaking the law.
Right, right.
Right and left, they're breaking the law in every one of these instances. So it's, you know, it's, to me, it's a no-brainer.
Right.
But obviously they got friends in high places. And
well, they're a billion-dollar industry.
That's right.
So it is interesting that these tapes happen to come out, you know, perfect time, because I think they're getting ready this week to vote on whether or not to defund Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But interesting also, I saw recently that this happened a year or two ago, but there was a young girl, she was 14 years old, and this was in the state of Washington, and her father, and I think it was her sister, had taken her to a Planned Parenthood, and the girl was 22 weeks pregnant. Now, they didn't do, you know, that late-term abortions at that Planned Parenthood, but they were basically holding this girl hostage. Mm-hmm. And would not let, I mean, when her father found out, you know, he wanted to take her home. And when they found out that her father was there and wanted her, they were holding her there until they could get her to a place, you know, where she could get a late-term abortion. And her father called the police. And the police were saying, you can't do this. She's underage. Mm-hmm. You know, the man who impregnated her is 22 years old. This is, you know, there's multiple crimes going on here. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they're prosecuting Planned Parenthood for holding this child hostage.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, they claim that because she was pregnant, she's now emancipated.
Exactly.
And, but the police, they called their town attorney, and you know, the attorney said, no, that's not true. And you know, she could be emancipated if she had gotten a court order or something, but in that case she hadn't, and so she was still under, you know, her parental authority.
She's 14.
Right. Yeah. And so yeah, you know, they'll do anything,
yeah,
you know, to get that abortion done. And you know,
Even in Connecticut, the girl who was abducted, and she was being held. I don't know, how long was she held?
Almost a year, yeah, up in West Hartford.
And she had been taken to a Planned Parenthood and had an abortion.
In West Hartford, right.
And if, mm-hmm, had she, you know, had they looked into, you know, well, your parents, blah, 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 her parents would have known she was alive and would have gotten her back much sooner.
Right, mm-hmm.
I mean, they're covering up multiple crimes all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And the evidence, which is the unborn child, you know, in that case, they found it up at a clinic or a lab up in Massachusetts. And so my guess is that they probably sold it. You know, fetal body parts. So they made money on the abortion. They made money on the back end on selling the fetal body parts for science or whatever they sold it for.
Yeah, gross science. Yep. I mean, that's another thing. I don't think people realize that that's another billion-dollar industry is selling baby body parts from abortion clinics.
Right. So they'll tell the woman, you know, it's just a blob of tissue, but that blob of tissue may be worth $1,000 for, you know, for a leg or two or whatever.
So even if you are pro-choice, I think you could understand why that people don't want their tax dollars, especially in this economic times, going to fund an organization such as Planned Parenthood. I mean, we need to cut back somewhere, and this would be a prime area to cut back. Because, I mean, even if you're pro-choice, you can understand there are people who find it completely offensive to be funding an organization like this. It really, I mean, we don't fund any other organizations that are completely offensive to other people. It just, you know.
Well, and, you know, supposedly, I mean, Planned Parenthood says, well, we care about the women because they're women. Well, let's incest is usually one of the cases that particularly politicians say, well, we've got to keep it legal for rape and incest. You know, those are so-called hard cases. Well, let's analyze that. In a case of incest, you've got a close relative, a father, brother, an uncle, or something like that, who's having sex with an underage girl, in most cases underage, and she may get pregnant. So there's one study that looked at these girls that got abortions. And in every single case, the abortion was arranged by not the girl,
right,
but by someone else in the family.
To cover up their crime.
So, right, exactly. So they're covering up, and the reason they're covering up is, number one, to cover up the crime, but what's going to happen? That girl's going to go back into the same situation she was in before, and the sexual abuse could continue.
Yeah, so how is Planned Parenthood helping her?
And what are these politicians? They think that they're standing up for the woman's right. Well, she's going to want to get an abortion. Well, no, actually, they're standing up for the perpetrator,
pedophile.
The pedophile, or whoever, to continue, the crime that he's already been committing.
And that's been shown,
and to hide the evidence or destroy the evidence.
And that has been shown, too, in Connecticut, where one guy, I think, was it near Bridgeport, who he was impregnating his wife's or girlfriend's daughter several times?
Well, there was one that an older guy that worked sort of at the abortion clinic or in the building where the abortion clinic was going on. He was like, I don't know, 70 years old or something. And, he was got a girl, a minor girl, pregnant.
Wow.
And the abortion clinic didn't report it. The doctors, didn't report that. So, again, they're just simply covering up crimes, and they say that they care about women, but they're basically standing up for the men who are committing the crimes and hiding the crimes altogether. So
what are the chances that we could actually defund Planned Parenthood, especially with the fact that we know that we have like these huge deficits that we're running both in the state and in the country? Is it possible, do you think?
Well, I think the last I saw with Representative Pence's bill, I think he was up to 166 co-sponsors or so.
Wow.
He'll need about 216 or 220 to pass an amendment or a bill, to a budget bill. So he's getting close. And, it's certainly possible. And with all this information coming out, I would think that he may gain some additional support.
And does it help to have us write to our congressmen or, to phone them? Or what's the best thing for us to do?
Well, definitely just get on the phone or get on your computer and send an email. You can just type in the name of your type in Congress and you'll get to a Congress and you can put in, your zip code and it'll tell you which congressman is yours. And then you can write to your U.S. senator and your U.S. congressman and ask them, to oppose any funding of Planned Parenthood. That's one place where we can save money, and we certainly need to do that. So.
And you don't have to, it doesn't have to be some eloquent, long letter. I mean, just get the words in, defund Planned Parenthood, basically. And you don't have to have any major arguments or anything. You just want them to know that you are one of their constituents, and you would like them to start trimming the budget, and that's a good place
there.
To start. So, The Congress is one place. I mean, it's going to have to go through the Senate as well, right?
Right. So we need to call Senator Blumenthal and Senator Lieberman and ask them to do the same thing. It hasn't gotten there yet. It's starting in the House. So that's the first battle there. But if it does pass there, then it'll go to the Senate and we'll have to call the senators there as well.
Everything I know about Senator Blumenthal, though, is he's pretty much in bed with Planned Parenthood.
Well, he hired, he was just elected, so he's first time down there, but he hired as his chief of staff a woman who used to work for Planned Parenthood, so that's not a good sign.
But I think it doesn't matter. I think the more people that write to him, he might realize, he's a first-termer, he might not be a second-termer if he stands up for something like that, especially with this in the news where, everybody's seeing Planned Parenthood for really what it is, and $300 million a year, that's ridiculous.
Right.
Totally ridiculous.
Now, just yesterday, actually, there was a nation, because of these films that have been coming out, there was a nationwide day called, it was only called Thursday Night, and they said, let's, you know, get in front of all the Planned Parenthoods around the country. And I don't know how many were covered, but we got, we had people out at six different Planned Parenthoods here in Connecticut.
Wow, really?
In within less than four days. We got a little publicity in Waterbury and in Stamford, and to get the word out. So word is getting out in the media a little bit. I think there's sort of a blanket cover up by a lot of the media.
Right.
But
yeah, a lot of the media didn't even cover the Lila Rose videos that have been very. I mean, they've been on the internet, so I mean, you can see them. They're blatant. You know, they. Mm-hmm. This is news.
Right. If you really want to see for yourself, just go to Live Action, Lila Rose. Lila Rose, the name of the young woman that's behind this, and you can see the different films for yourself and see what they say, see what Planned Parenthood says. So it's all right there on tape.
I know, and you tell me that you wouldn't call the police on these people.
Well, it was interesting because the police, don't seem to investigate these things. And yet yesterday when we had the demonstration or the vigil, it was a prayer vigil, about 17 people in Waterbury praying the rosary. And yet Planned Parenthood called the police, and they had three or five policemen standing around there watching them pray the rosary. You know, it's a dangerous weapon.
Yeah, well, it is. So, more dangerous than they know.
Yes. So if those policemen would only, show up and start investigating some of these crimes, like, the one that you mentioned in West Hartford, that girl, that was abducted or, at least held hostage or whatever the circumstances were for about a year.
And I know, but the police in Norwich, anyways, I mean, they're so sick of Planned Parenthood calling for every little thing that I don't know if it's true in other places, but I think the police have pretty much figured out what Planned Parenthood's all about.
Right. Mm-hmm. They want the public to get this impression that, that they have to call the police because we're so violent, and yet, it's just the opposite is true.
Right.
They're the ones that are disobeying the law and in countless instances. So. Now, there are other bills in Congress. Congressman Smith from
New Jersey,
along with Representative Pitts and some others, they want to get a blanket ban on abortion funding. Now, every year we've had the Hyde Amendment for 30 years probably, but every year that had to be passed again and put onto the Health and Human Services budget to ban abortion funding.
Federally.
And then there were other bills. There was a Dornan Amendment, which banned funding in the District of Columbia. Another one for banning funding in military bases. Mm-hmm. And another one banning funding in Indian reservations. So those four different bans had to be passed every single year.
So it's a battle every year.
Right. So Representative Smith has a bill that would ban abortion across the government permanently.
Wow.
And so that would be one we should really get behind.
And is that something that would also apply to the health care bill?
That one would, yes.
Mm-hmm. So that would take care of that part of the health care bill anyways.
Right. Yeah.
the one objectionable part.
Yeah. So
So
it's a great bill. And there's a couple other ones, similar to that with, different bans. But that one would be the best one. And also some of those bills, a couple of abortion funding bans, would also put in some conscience protection for healthcare workers, which there aren't. Well, there are some on the statutes right now, but the Bush administration put some guidelines to implement those laws that are on the books now. And the Obama administration, within the first couple weeks that it took over, they put those Bush administration guidelines aside, and they've been taking their time and coming up with new ones. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what the replacement ones are going to be, but we're not very optimistic.
So they're all concerned about, a child having to say the Pledge of Allegiance as being, very offensive. You can't sing Christmas carols in school, and you can't, do anything that mentions God in school because it's offensive. But our tax dollars can go to pay for things that we find extremely expensive, and our doctors and nurses are subjected to doing things that totally go against all of their moral conscience.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, right now, again, because of the Hyde Amendment and those other amendments, there are some bans on use of federal funds for abortions. It can't be used in Medicaid funds and such. Federal funds can't be.
Right.
State funds can. Connecticut uses state funds for abortion, but they're not federal funds. Someone today told me that they called their congressman's office and they said, we want you to vote to ban abortion. And they said, well, we don't use federal funds already for abortion. And, but the point, they were really talking about banning funds for Planned Parenthood. These funds go to Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Planned Parenthood does 300,000 abortions, but supposedly the $300 million doesn't pay for the abortions, it pays for the birth control.
Right.
But it's the same organization.
Right.
It's like giving money to me as opposed to my wife and saying, well, it's being used for a different thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's still paying our family's bills.
Right.
And, other money that we would have used for that is going to be used for that.
And to that point, one of the things is that they know for a fact that the birth control fails. That's how they get the girls in for abortions. And the other thing is, too, birth control pills, we are abortifacients. So we're, we don't even know how many millions and millions of babies have
chemical
been killed.
Chemical abortions, right.
Right, from mm-hmm. chemical abortions. So, this is all, it's all crazy.
It's all sleight of hand. It's,
exactly.
It's all paperwork, but federal funds are going to Planned Parenthood. They do abortions. That should stop.
Right, right. We don't fund any other nonprofits that do things that that people would be so objectionable to.
Right. Mm-hmm. So essentially, those are the federal bills that we're looking at. Defunding Planned Parenthood, stopping a complete ban on abortion throughout the federal government, and conscience protection for healthcare workers.
Right. Is there any reason why these things weren't implemented back in the day when the Republicans had majority in both the House, Senate, and the White House?
Well, those four different bans on funding, they were passed year after year.
Not on Planned Parenthood.
Not on Planned Parenthood. Well, they have the ban on abortion funding.
Right.
But again, it's that tricky, Planned Parenthood says, well, we don't use it for
right.
abortion. So that's the problem. So we need to specifically defund Planned Parenthood or take away, family planning funds from the federal government that would be going to Planned Parenthood. So, but basically we have we had a Democratic Congress last year and Democratic president, and they were able to rescind some of these bills,
or right.
some of these laws, and still fiddling with the conscience protection. So it's, putting something back into place.
Well, I want to switch gears and talk a little bit about what's going on in Connecticut, but I also want to open the phone lines. So if anybody wants to call in and ask Bill a question, our phone number here is 456-3000. We'd love to hear from you. That's, again, 456-3000. So you said you had very good success with getting people in Connecticut to stand outside of Planned Parenthood and pray. And that's a good, great witness for people in Connecticut and around the world. But what else is going on in the state of Connecticut?
Well, this all sort of ties into the same to the bills that are have been introduced here in Connecticut. There's at least four parental notification bills that are up in the Public Health Committee in Hartford.
Four different bills. What's different from?
Well, just they were they're individual bills put in by different legislators.
Oh.
All with the same purpose and probably close to the same language. My own legislator from Wolcott, put in one bill. Representative Rowe from Trumbull put in a bill. Senator McLaughlin from Danbury put in a bill. Representative Al Nolfi from Cheshire put in a parental notification bill. So those are all pending, and they were all referred to the Public Health Committee. And that brings up, you know, just where the bills end up is interesting because, you know, from 1821, when Connecticut first passed an anti-abortion bill, or, you mm-hmm. know, until 1990, when it was the last bill was rescinded, it was always in the criminal code of Connecticut. So you got state mm-hmm. statutes, and you got the criminal section, you got the civil section. All right, the criminal section, you know, of course, deals with abortion, homicide, you know,
robbery
and all that kind of thing. And the civil side, you know, then you get into the public health laws and things mm-hmm. like that. You know, you're going to have a inspection of health facilities or something of that sort. So in 1990, they got rid of the old abortion law, and they got the new abortion law, and they changed it from the criminal section, and they put it into the public health section or the civil section. And so now they're referring these parental notification bills to the Public Health Committee instead of the Judiciary Committee, which would handle the criminal section.
Yeah, and the Judiciary Committee has always been very antagonistic to our side, let's say.
Right, but a couple of the former chairmen, Representative Lawler and Senator...
have been promoted.
have been moved into the Malloy administration, so they're no longer in the legislature. So they have new chairman of the Judiciary Committee, and we have yet to see exactly how they're going to treat pro-life bills mm-hmm. because, for the most part, they weren't referred there. They were referred to this other committee. And Senator Stillman is co-chair of the Public Health Committee. She's from here.
Yeah, she's from
in Eastern
here,
Connecticut,
right.
Westbrook, I believe it is. And she has on her website that she's associated in some way, I'm not sure how, with NARAL, which is the Abortion Industry Association.
Right.
But she's also, interestingly, she's also somehow interested in the trafficking of human persons issue, which is what these Lila Rose videos are all about.
Right.
So, you know, with an ARAL, that's not encouraging for us, but that she's interested in human trafficking, and, you know, now we're finding
that's one good way to catch these traffickers, obviously.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the past, you know, the arguments we've often made for the parental notification bill is that, you know, parents should know what their daughters are doing as far as health. You know, they're responsible for the daughter. And, you know, they have a right to know. But now with all this information coming out with the Lila Rose videos, and we're seeing that, you know, Planned Parenthood apparently is breaking all of these different laws, that it definitely should be in the Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may end up going to both, but it definitely should be in the Judiciary Committee because these are criminal statutes that are being violated. And for that reason, you know, this parental notification bill should be passed so we can stop sexual assault, stop human trafficking, stop, you know, all these other things that they're doing.
Well, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, even the people who are against the parental notification for abortion see that parents should be involved in a lot of these decisions they make, and they have passed bills that say a child can't get their ears pierced without parental notification, can't get a tattoo, and yet, you know, they don't see the logic in preventing them from getting an abortion, which is a serious surgical procedure.
Very serious, yeah.
We have a phone call from Francis, and Francis is calling from Willimantic. Hello, Francis.
Good evening.
Did you have a question or comment?
Yes. You were talking about the ultrasound imaging that those abortions have been shown on.
Yes.
I understand that there's, I believe it's fiber optic imaging, which is much clearer. There was a issue of, I think, National Geographic magazine a few years ago that had these extremely clear pictures of fetal development in it, and they were it's like you were looking at it with your own eyes.
Wow.
And I think that was the fiber optic imagery. And if there is any abortions that were recorded on that, it would be like 100 times better than the ultrasound and would really help us. I don't know if either of you ever heard about that, or if do you know if there's any abortions that were done on that. And of course, there's also the case if they probably would never release it. But
yeah, that's true. Well, that's an interesting question, because when we were referring to the abortion being done on ultrasound, it was just a particular doctor that used the ultrasound to perform abortions because he felt it was safer for the woman. Remember, this is a very dangerous surgical procedure. They basically stick a vacuum tube in the woman's womb and suck out the baby part by part, and sometimes they can nick her uterus, and she could bleed. And so this doctor, caringly, you know, it's ironic, he wants to kill the woman's child, but he wanted to make sure she was safe, did the abortion on this ultrasound. And I don't think they really need the high resolution fiber optics. They were really only interested in, you know, just getting a gross image of the uterus. But you're right, I don't think they would ever release, you know, the fiber optics image of an abortion, because you see how it affected just that one woman.
Right. Of course, a lot of pregnancy centers have or are in the past or are currently getting ultrasound machines to show the woman, you know, what the baby looks like in the womb, and so that she'll make a decision to keep it, mm-hmm. which happens in 80-90% of the time that the woman sees it. But, you know, in those cases, of course, they're trying to save the baby's life, and it's a non-invasive ultrasound.
Right.
Whereas, you know, the fiber optic, that may be more invasive.
Yeah.
So it could be used for an abortion because that's an already invasive procedure to begin with. I don't know how practical it would be if mm-hmm. you're trying to actually save the baby.
Yeah, like you say, it would probably be really good in order to show people, you know, the great development in how far developed these children are before they're being aborted. But the abortion clinics aren't going to need these or use these. And even if you could show these images on TV, I remember when GE came out with their 3D ultrasounds, they had a commercial on television they were made to pull, because the images were just too real. And, you know, we don't want to see babies, you know, in the womb. I mean, these babies were healthy babies, and they were literally told that they could not show these commercials. That's how crazy our world is.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, here in Connecticut, you know, there are a couple of pregnancy centers that have ultrasound machines, and St. Gerard Center in Hartford just got one just a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
or started using it. So, you know, it is a great tool, you know, to have. You know, on the other hand, you know, back to these parental notification laws, you know, we basically need people to call their legislators now, their state legislators, and email or phone call or buttonhole them at the local grocery store, and say that, you know, we need to protect these young women. And, you know, such as the Bloomfield girl that was in West Hartford, the parents should be involved. And we've got to stop. Studies have shown that the younger the girl that gets pregnant, the older the guy is who gets her pregnant.
Right.
So it's not unusual for, instead of her being 15 and her boyfriend 15 or something, it's more likely that she's 14 and the guy is 19 or 22, or in the case of the girl in West Hartford, the guy was 41 and she was 14.
And that's one way to protect the child from being abused. But it's also, it's totally undermining the parent-child relationship. You know, this is something that needs to be made a decision within the family, and to take that out of the parents' realm is ridiculous. And even if you're pro-choice, you have to see that parental notification is a good thing, you know, for families mm-hmm. and for the girls. And so even if your legislator is pro-choice, I think you really need to put some pressure on them. to pass something like this in Connecticut? How many states have parental notification?
37 have it in operation. Another 7 have it up. The courts are holding it up, but 43 altogether. So there's only 7 states, including Connecticut, that doesn't have it.
Yeah, how backwards is that?
Yeah, exactly. Now, there's some other bills. Well, actually, it also brings up a whole new issue. You know, you mentioned pro-choice. I often get asked when I testify at public hearings, well, isn't there some common ground for pro-life and pro-choice? And there should be, which would be forced abortions. Yeah, you know, we're against all abortions, of course, but that also means we're against forced abortions. And the other side, they say they're pro-choice, meaning the woman should have a choice. So I would think that they would be against forced abortions.
Right.
Now, I mentioned before about, you know, the case of incest, where the girl is almost always a victim of forced abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman, the young girl up in West Hartford, that was a forced abortion. There was a case in Groton a couple of years ago, the same year as the West Hartford case, where a guy, 22 years old, got a 14-year-old girl pregnant 3 times in 6 months. And the girl's mother forced her to get an abortion 3 times before she finally turned the guy in.
Wow.
For a sexual assault of a minor. You know, so I would think that if you're pro-choice, you would be against forced abortions.
Right.
And,
which is often the case. It's either the boyfriend, the husband, the parent, you know, the grandmother of the baby,
mm-hmm.
Father. It's often somebody is forcing the child or the woman to have an abortion, or she feels that she has no other choice. So they really aren't offering choices to these women. So mm-hmm. You're right. There should be a law against forcing a woman to have an abortion.
Right. And Americans United for Life, it's a pro-life legal group out in Illinois. They have you can look it up on their website, but they have some model statutes, and one of them is against forced abortion.
Wow.
So, there is legislative language out there.
We have another phone call. It's from Anne Marie in Canterbury. Hello, Anne Marie.
Hi. I'm a high school teacher, and I just wanted to share my experiences with Planned Parenthood in the high school. Every year they would come in to give a so-called family health conference about reproductive health. And they would invite the parents in, and they would invite the students, and it made it look as though parents and students would work together dealing with the problems of teenage pregnancy. But what would happen is the parents were invited into one room and the teenagers were invited to another. I was fortunate enough to be able to visit both rooms, and I can tell you that the parents are reassured that their values of keeping sex for marriage were going to be upheld and that Planned Parenthood was on their side. In the other room, a young woman told them, "Don't go to your parents if you want to have sex. Come to us, and we'll give you free birth control." And they continuously got the children, and they were children, they were 16, 14 years old, into extremely sexual conversation where they were being agitated in that direction and laughing about it and trivializing it to the point that I was humiliated. And I just couldn't believe the deception that was going on the part of Planned Parenthood. And as far as I understand it, this is pretty a common tactic. They are actually marketing our children right under our noses in order to make money off them.
That is like downright evil.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be one thing to just, you know, totally scandalize the children, but then to go in the same time telling the parents that they're supporting their values. I mean, how duplicitous could you get?
It is terrible. And I was also told by Jim Sedlak of Planned Parenthood, of Stop Planned Parenthood, that they get 30% of their business from the high school trade. They lose 30% of the business when high schoolers graduate, so they've got to drum up 30% of their business. So it's nothing but a marketing scheme. I also worked at a community college where they had a van come in every week to distribute free contraceptives as well as free emergency contraception. And this is before it was even over the counter. So there was no follow-up being given to these girls to see if anything wrong was happening to them, any excessive bleeding. They were just going in again to give them, like you said, those low doses of pills so they could make sure they come back for an abortion. That's basically what they were doing. They were inciting the children to get sexually involved so they would become future clients.
Wow. Wow.
And they even had a leadership conference that they used to give to poor children every year in the Marriott. This was on Long Island, where they would mark a certain young person that seemed to have some promise and say, look, we want you to be a peer leader. Come to this elegant reception with lunch, and we're going to teach you to lead your peers. Well, what they were doing is teaching them to be marketers for Planned Parenthood. And these poor kids, they were immigrants. They had never received an honor in their lives in this country. They were so thrilled to be singled out. They didn't realize they were being used by Planned Parenthood. And I saw many a good kid go wrong in that direction because of Planned Parenthood.
Now,
so just these are some of the tactics that are being used by the other side. I just thought I'd alert some parents.
Thank
if anything is going on in Planned Parenthood in your schools,
yeah,
make sure your kid's absent that day.
Thank you. That was very enlightening.
Yeah, well, you know, this Abby Johnson, the convert from down in Texas, she mentioned that she went to a career fair or a health fair at her school, at her college, and she was recruited right out of there into work for Planned Parenthood. But it starts even earlier, as a caller just said.
Yeah.
And looks like another.
Yeah, we have another phone call. It's Mike from Lebanon. Hello, Mike. Are you there, Mike?
Yes.
Hey, did you have a comment or question for Bill?
Yeah, like either one of you, I guess, would be able to answer it. With the attempt to defund Planned Parenthood going on now, would that be something that would be subject to a executive veto? And if so, what would you think the possibility of getting that through, given the kind of intimate relationship between the executive and Planned Parenthood itself financially?
Good question.
Okay, well, all spending bills in Congress begin in the House of Representatives, which is where the bills are right now. So if the House, votes simply doesn't put money in there for Planned Parenthood, then it's not there. And it goes on to the Senate. And the Senate can try to put it back in. But there's always what they call a reconciliation bill, where if it passes both houses but with differences, then it's got to go for reconciliation between the two. And, if it passes by a large vote in the House, then the Senate's going to know that, the House isn't going to go along with putting money back in for Planned Parenthood. So at some point, they have to say, okay, we've got one common bill that we're both going to vote on, and it's either going to have money for Planned Parenthood or if it's not. And if it doesn't, and then it goes on to the president, he can't put it in. He's got to take the bill the way it is. And if there's no money there, then that's what he's got. And he can veto it and you say, I'm not going to sign it until you put Planned Parenthood's money back in.
But then that's a game of chicken. Yeah.
Yeah, then that's going to shut down the government, the whole federal government at some point.
So this isn't really a standalone bill. This is just whether or not they're going to put in this upcoming year's budget.
Right.
Funds this $300 million for Planned Parenthood.
Right, or, I come under the family planning section, and Health and Human Services will eventually, distribute the money. But if they don't have the money, then they can't use it.
Gotta like that. So there is actually hope for this then.
Right. Now, the other bills I talked about, Representative Smith's bill and the Pitts bill and so on, those would be sort of standalone bills, banning abortion funding, government-wide. Again, the president can veto that, but, but at least it would be a sign of where the House of Representatives is going.
Right, right. I mean, they really do need to start, throwing us some bones, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good question. I didn't realize that's what they were doing. It wasn't a standalone bill, but it was basically just not giving them money in the budget.
Right.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, so Barack Obama would have a hard time facing Planned Parenthood because he's, in their back pocket, but he'd also have a hard time facing the nation saying, I'm not going to sign this budget because it doesn't have $300 million for Planned Parenthood.
Right.
That would be a little difficult for him, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the same here in Connecticut. They'll be getting the legislature will be looking at the budget here. And again, there's $5 million there, half federal, half state. You know, and if the state legislature doesn't put it in specifically for that program, then it's not there and can't be spent.
Yeah, yeah. And every, I mean, really, you do need to start taking a hard look at the what we're spending our money on. And really, there's no reason for us to be paying for abortions, whether it's the federal level or the state level, or birth control for that matter, really.
Right. Now, the governor, you know, he'll make his big speech tomorrow, but on the details that have come out so far, he's going to raise these tax and the sales tax is going to apply. He's going to raise it and apply it to all the clothing under $50 or
really?
For shoes and clothes and everything. So some of that money, you know, wouldn't have to be. Some of those taxes might not be needed if we didn't have that $2.5 million of state funds for Planned Parenthood.
And refresh my memory. How much money are we spending in Connecticut for human embryonic stem cell research each year?
It's $10 million a year for 10 years, and we're probably in the fourth or fifth year.
Yeah,
now.
We could, you know, cut that too, because basically we're
million,
just
right.
building buildings for universities that have huge endowments.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They could be building their own buildings.
For an obsolete science, essentially.
Yeah.
And immoral science. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's another way to cut the budget right there. There's lots of ways. They just really need to. Even if you just took a pro-life view of the budget, you wouldn't be able to balance it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. So at the federal level, we've got to call the representatives and tell them to defund Planned Parenthood, to support Chris Smith's bill to basically eliminate all federal funding of abortion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Was there another federal one?
There's a couple others, including Chris Smith's, but they all basically ban funding of some sort for abortion, and they all have conscience protection for healthcare workers.
Oh, conscience protection, that's what it is. Yeah. And then the other thing, on the state level, we need to talk to our representatives about parental notification, mm-hmm. and we also want to criminalize forced abortions. You know, basically prevent forced abortions.
Well, there's no bill in for that this year.
Oh.
But I mean, you can sort of say that in parental notification, you're helping to ban some forced abortions.
Right.
Because, you know, oftentimes it's the 22-year-old guy bringing the 14-year-old girl in for
right.
basically a forced abortion.
Or his mother.
Or his parents, yep, because they don't want little Johnny to have to pay child support
right,
while he goes
right.
to college. So.
I think we have time for one more call. We have a phone call from Leon in Willimantic. Hello, Leon.
Oh, hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
I guess our country must be out of debt now. We're doing well if we're able to send $300 million a year?
Right.
To Planned Parenthood?
You would think.
You would think. Yes.
No, we're not. We're very financially strapped, and we keep spending more and more money on more and more objectionable things. But this has been a...
Well, we just took a census, and our census says there's about 300 million Americans, so that's $1
wow.
from every single American. So,
wow.
Or $2 or $3 or $4, $5 from every family.
Yeah, well, or $10 from you and then nothing from some other people.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, we really, there's really no reason except for, you know, when politicians talk about, you know, these PACs or these special interests. I mean, Planned Parenthood is certainly a special interest, and that's one that they can defund easily. And I don't think there's going to be too many people crying.
Right. Yep. So we've got our work cut out for us. You know, there's these bills. There are some other bills in Hartford. You know, there is an ultrasound bill requiring all any woman going for an abortion would be required to be offered the chance to see an ultrasound Representative Rowe introduced that as well.
That's okay.
And so that's pending in the Public Health Committee. And there's one other one by Senator McLaughlin concerning doing away with the born alive rule, saying that all unborn children are alive and should be protected.
That's awesome. So there's lots of good stuff going on. We hope that you can contact your legislator and tell them that you know what's going on and that you would like them to support the pro-life stance. And the next time you look in the mirror, you'll realize yours too is the face of pro-life. Please join us again next time.